Okay, number one, tonight's class is sponsored Le'ilui Nishmas Mordechai Mordeb's grandfather, Moshe ben Zalman, Nisham Shav and Aliyah. Okay, back to where we're up to. So we're learning the Malacha of Makkah B'Patish, which is putting the finishing touches on something, making it usable when before it wasn't usable, or repairing things that are not usable, making them usable. Now, there's a difference between something which is not at all usable, and you make it usable, then you're biblically transgressing the commandment of Makkah B'Patish, which means the final hammer blow. If it's usable, okay, but it's not the proper way of doing it, then it's rabbinically forbidden. To give you an example of this, the Gemara says, if somebody sharpens a knife on Yom Tif, it's biblically the malacha of Makkah B'Patish, the final blows on something. What? I'm saying even in Yom Tif. Now, that's the case is when the knife is completely dull. The knife won't cut at all. Then when you sharpen the knife, so you're making it from not usable at all to something which is now usable. So then the Gemara says you're biblically transgressing the Malacha Makkah B'Patish. But if the knife could cut, but it's not such a, you know, it's not really sharp properly, and then you sharpen the knife, so then that would be something that would be rabbinically forbidden.
Only on Yom Tov?
No, Shabbos for sure. Shabbos for sure. The uniqueness is even Yom Tov, where you're allowed to do things for food. Nevertheless, the halacha is, when it comes to Yom Tov, things that you're able to do before Yom Tov without damaging in any way the taste of the food, so then you're not allowed to do it on Yom Tov. The reason why you're allowed to cook food on Yom Tov, why couldn't you cook the day before Yom Tov? So the answer is because freshly cooked food tastes better than a day old food. Why are you allowed to do shechita? You can slaughter an animal on Yom Tov. Obviously Shabbos you can, but why are you allowed to slaughter an animal on Yom Tov and kosher it? Halachically, you're allowed to shech the chicken on Yom Tov and take it apart and kosher it and cook it. Why are you allowed to do it? Because a freshly slaughtered animal tastes better than a day-old animal. But things that you're able to do before Yom Tov that wouldn't change the taste of the food, for instance, sharpening the knife, there's no reason why you couldn't do it the day before Yom Tov. It's not going to make the food taste any better or worse. So therefore, you wouldn't be allowed to sharpen a knife on Yom Tov because it's not for Eichel Nefesh, it's not for food, because it really doesn't change the food in any way whatsoever. Now, speaking about clocks, it's an interesting question, halacha. A clock that's, let's go back prehistoric times, guys. They used to have something called wind-up watches. Remember the old guys in the show? The young guys don't even know what I'm talking about. Yeah, anyway, so the shaila is like this. If a clock stopped working on Shabbos or Yom Tov, would you be allowed to wind the clock up on Shabbos? So it's an extreme in Poskim, by the way. Some Poskim hold is biblically forbidden to do it because you're making a non-usable clock that's not usable at all, and now you're making it usable by winding it up. Now, if it's already working and you wind it up, let's say years ago, you have to wind a watch, let's say, once a day. So let's say after 18 hours, the watch is still working, so you're winding, you could wind it up. That is much easier because you're not fixing something which is broken. The watch is working. Or there was an interesting thing. You used to have the self-winding watches. You don't see them around too much anymore. Self-winding watches that when you moved your hand, it actually wound the watch. So then there was a whole discussion when they came out, are you allowed to wear them on Shabbos? Because when you move your hand, you're actually winding the watch. And that was allowed, they said you were allowed to, providing that before Shabbos, the watch could have sat on its own for 24 hours without needing to be rewound. Huh? Self-winding? Okay. Yeah, I'm saying, so, but what happens if you only have 15 hours left, then some opinions say you shouldn't wear it on Shabbos because then you're actually winding a broken watch. Or there's another interesting thing. What happens if you want, are you allowed to change the time on a clock on Shabbos? I'll give you a simple example. A number of years ago, daylight savings started on the first day of Pesach, I think. Like between the first and the second day of Pesach, many years ago it was. So now the shail is, on Yom Tov, can I change the time? Is that called fixing the watch? Or is it not called fixing the watch? So there's a whole discussion in halacha. Some people permit it, some people say you shouldn't do it. But taking a clock that doesn't work at all and winding it up could be a question. Yeah, but you mean you want to measure time?
You're measuring time.
Yeah, you're measuring time. You couldn't do it anyway. What?
Is a doctor allowed to install a pacemaker?
I don't know.
Can a doctor install a pacemaker on Shabbos? If it's an emergency, yes.
It is.
Well, not always an emergency. It can be pushed off for a day. If it's most pacemakers are elective. Obviously, if it's emergency, there's no question. Of course, you could do it. That's if the doctor knows what they're doing. If they don't know what they're doing, you shouldn't do it on Shabbos or Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday either. Okay. What?
A mechanical meat thermometer.
You talking about Shabbos or Yom Tov?
Yom Tov,
if it's not digital or electric, it's just mechanical, and you need it to measure the food, so then you would be allowed to on Yom Tov, because again, it's for the cooking process of that day of Yom Tov. You can't measure it before Yom Tov, because then it's not going to be as fresh. Shabbos, you wouldn't be allowed to do it. Freezer. So what do you want to do with it? Set it? Are you allowed to look at a thermometer? No, but you know, there's an interesting thing. I'll give you another interesting question. Nowadays, they don't have these, the mercury thermometers.
Yeah.
I'm talking about to take your temperature. Okay, now it's all digital. They banned, basically, the mercury thermometers. Which, by the way, is a very big shaila on Shabbos, taking your temperature, because you're actually doing digital writing on Shabbos when you take your temperature. I'm not talking about dangerous situations. I'm then obviously you're allowed to. But now the question is like this. This was an interesting discussion. I see many people permit it. When we were growing up, there were many opinions that said you can't do it. You took your temperature, okay, with the mercury thermometer. It registered. Now what do you do with it? You shake it down to get it back to lower than 98.6 to be able to take the temperature again. So now the question is that fixing it on Shabbos? Is that called fixing the thermometer on Shabbos? Because you can't use it when, let's say, you got it, God forbid, 102. So you can't take your temperature with 102, so you have to knock it down. But here, when we were growing up, and when we were learning halacha and yeshiva and all that, we learned that you're not allowed to. But I see he brings down over here, it's not really called fixing it. Because he said that's the way it works.
But how about measuring?
Here.
Are you not allowed to measure? No?
1 second. Since normal your thermometer calls for this adjustment, it's not called broken that you're fixing. It's just called part of the process of using it. What?
I was just going to say, but you can measure, right?
Yeah, but if somebody is sick and they want to measure their temperature, that you're allowed to because it's for illness, then you would be allowed to. But with a digital thermometer, it's a very big problem today.
Also, the blood pressure.
So blood pressure machines, if somebody has to regulate the blood pressure and it could be a dangerous situation, if it's a doubt of a doubt of a doubt, yeah, then you're allowed to do it. If they could do it a little bit different than always, with a shinui, they have manual blood pressure machines. Yeah. So obviously if somebody can use a mechanical one rather than a digital one, right? So then you should use that. Obviously, it's less desecration of Shabbos.
So you can't go on a scale. You can't go because that's measuring, right?
Scale?
You can't go on a scale on a Shabbos.
Let me tell you something. If you go on a scale, usually you get depressed. So, and Shabbos, you're not allowed to get depressed. Okay? So, but even without, even if you are, I lost weight and happy, but you still can't do measuring on Shabbos unless if it's for a mitzvah. For instance, if you have to eat a certain amount of matzah in Pesach, right? You need to eat the kezayis, the matzah, the neder seder, and you want to measure if this matzah is an ounce or not. You're allowed to measure it. Not, again, with a mechanical, not the digital scale. Or if they need to measure a mikvah to see if there's enough water in the mikvah. So measuring of a mitzvah, you're allowed to do on Shabbos. Measuring, even for food, on Shabbos, you're not allowed to do it. If something, let's say you're making something on Shabbos, it calls for a teaspoon or half a teaspoon of oil, let's say. So halachically, you can't measure it exactly. You have to approximate.
You can't measure your food portion, right?
Not if you exactly, unless again, unless it's a health issue. You know what I'm saying? Unless it's a health issue, but for somebody to actually measure amounts is forbidden. Not only that, because of that, a measuring cup is really muks on Shabbos. It's a keli shemalachta le'iser, it's a vessel whose primary use is for something forbidden on Shabbos. Right? It's primarily made to measure. Measuring is not allowed to be done on Shabbos. So therefore, but what happens if somebody just wants to use it to take a drink? Then you could. Because the Tzedach Gufay, we know if you want to do something permissible with it, you're allowed to. Or you need the place, so you can move it. But otherwise, you know what I'm saying, the measuring cup is not, and therefore on Shabbos and Yom Tov maybe is a little bit easier. But on Shabbos, you would need to approximate how much you're putting in.
Same with medicine, like a cough syrup for a kid?
I mean, halachically, they really should approximate. Now, you can use a syringe, but you shouldn't go like this, you know, look exactly. Pick up the syringe. It's not going to be that much of a difference either way. But you can approximate, you can't measure exactly on Shabbos or Yom Tov. Okay, now, what happens if, okay, we mentioned this din yesterday, but we didn't finish this din. If a piece of metal was bent out of shape,
you said a fork, a knife,
anything that's metal that's bent out of shape, so then you're not allowed to fix it on Shabbos by straightening it out because, again, you're fixing it. But let's say it's something very soft. To give you an example, a plastic cup, yeah? A plastic cup gets dented. Can I undent it? Yeah, because it's not, you're not doing anything. Or if somebody has a hat and another dent comes into the hat, you know? Or the dent goes out of the hat and you want it. So that you're allowed to do on Shabbos, it says, because you're not doing anything. It's not, you're not repairing the hat. It's made, the goat, that's the way it works. It is, you know, the, what?
Aluminum foil.
To do what?
You want to do your aluminum foil, you use it as a cover for one thing, but now you want to use it to cover, let's say, something in a different shape. It's not a problem, right?
Not a problem. Why should it be a problem? You're not doing anything to it. What?
I heard a picture frame. If it's a little bit crooked, you can't straighten it. What's wrong with that? Is that this thing?
The question is the picture out of shape or is the head out of shape? maybe the picture is straight and you're looking. The only problem is like this. It depends really what type of picture it is. If it's a very expensive picture, according to many opinions, it's called Muxima Machmas Sarin Kis. It's called something that you wouldn't use because it's too delicate, you're going to ruin it. So sometimes there is a content. It's a questionable issue with a picture on the wall. But if it's, I'll give you a Mona Lisa, you know, you have $1,000 painting on your, $10,000 painting on your wall, that might be a Shaila Muksa because it's a different category of Muksa. Muksa Machsen Sarin Kis. To give you an example, an iPhone okay, is basically used to call people things that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. Okay? So it's a keli shemalachta le'isa. But nevertheless, this is worse than a hammer. Why? Because a hammer you'll take to crack open a nut. A hammer you'll take for to do anything. You're not going to crack open a nut with this. Huh? Yeah, but that's normally what people won't do with
it. That has to do with how the person deals with that item.
So sometimes, no, and Halacha says sometimes it's a personal thing. In other words, if you use the phone, let's say, to keep napkins down, then it's a kedishim lachdilis and it's not muksimach son kiss. But if you won't use it for anything, I'll give you a simple example. A sheikhet's knife and a moyel's knife. Yeah? They're not going to cut a piece of cake with it. Even if it's new. Okay? Nobody's going to cut a piece of cake with a sheikhet or a moyel's knife because it's too delicate. So even though it's a knife, and the knife, generally speaking, is not muks at all, but this would be completely muks unless to do a bris. What? You have to table it because it's used for food. If it's metal, no.